Father, we love you because you first loved us. You called us even while we were in sin and in darkness. Even when we did not know you, you called us out of darkness to your marvelous light. And we thank you, Lord, because you have indeed blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And even physical, material, and all kinds of blessings you've given us. Now, O Lord, we thank you. We declare again today that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let me get to this lesson quickly. And let me know if at any time you're not hearing me. Because my phone here is showing signals of poor connections occasionally. But I hope that you are still hearing me. All right. I want to start here in Genesis chapter 1, taking us back to the beginning. Again, today's topic is on blessings and testings together as an inseparable package. And it all began way back when God created the heavens and the earth. And the Lord had an opportunity then. He called light. See, Bible say God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He has shined in our hearts. Well, when God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, here's what he said in Genesis chapter 1. And this gives us a good background to the reason why there's always blessings and testings together. And in the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth, we are told that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. Well, obviously, the darkness was not good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning, you know, together were the first day. I've often wondered, and the answer to the wonderings and the questions lies in this message today, is why did God just separate the light from the darkness? I mean, why did he not rebuke the darkness and say, "Let the darkness be no more"? Why didn't he say that? Well, he did not. He could have, but he didn't. And I guarantee you, if the Lord had said, "Let there be light and let the darkness be no more," then there would have been no more darkness till this day. You know, but, you know, for whatever reasons best known to him, he did not do it that way. He did bring out the light, which was good, but he also left the darkness in place. Now, that tells us something. And furthermore, he also gave a name to the darkness. When God names something, that means he has a purpose for it. Gave a name to it. He called it night. He gave a name to the, you know, light also. He called it day. Yeah, but he kept the two of them side by side. We're told that the evening, which was dark, then the morning, which was light, were the first day. And actually, the darkness was there before God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. So, what does that tell us? Well, that tells us you can't have the light without some darkness. You cannot have the day without some night. It just doesn't happen. Someday it will happen. When God will take away the need for the sun, the need for, you know, day and night and all that stuff. But right now, That's not the case. We still have to deal with the night and we have to deal with the day. That is also the reason why we have various things like blessings and testings, like prosperity and adversity. They go together. Can't have one all the time without, you know, some of the other. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, we're told, he said, look, there are these two things that God sets side by side. And when you experience either one of them, well, consider. Because, you know, God is the one that put those things together. He said, you know, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. You know, God, you know, allows you to be in the light, then rejoice. That's prosperity. That's the light, you know, and you rejoice in that. But in the day of adversity, which is the darkness, you know, you should consider. And what should you consider? Well, that means, you know, take inventory and look, you know, and so forth, and apply wisdom and think, consider. Why would I have prosperity and adversity? Why not only prosperity? Why would I have the day and night? Why not only day? Why would I have blessings and testings? Why not just blessings? Well, you know, so that's what the topic of our lesson is today. And it's not anything we haven't talked about, but because we spoke the word of the Lord a few days ago on the first and said the blessings, spoke the blessing over the room, but said also they're accompanied by testing. And someone gave a testimony yesterday that the blessing came and there was testing right away. And I said, well, you know, maybe I'll speak a little bit about that. So that's why we're doing this today. That's the way it is. You know, you will always have, on the one hand, the blessings. And right along with that, you'll have some testings. Because it comes in a package, kind of like a package deal. Well, let's read against Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. It said, well, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. Consider that God has set the one over against the other. That means side by side, to the end that man should find nothing after him. God allows the prosperity, he allows the adversity. God brings the blessing, he allows some testings. You know, God, you know, commands the light, but he allows some darkness too. You know, likewise the day and the night. It goes side by side. So don't be alarmed and don't be amazed when you get some blessings, and right along with that, there's some testings as well. You know, the book of Psalm 30 and verse 5 tells us that, you know, night and day, that they are a cycle and you really can't shake it. You know, it says sorrow may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. So while we're going through the dark times or whatever, you can have reason to look forward to, you know, the breaking of day, because as I often say, the night cannot last forever. It's impossible. At some point in time, the day must break. And when the day breaks, well, joy is coming in the morning. So it's like a symbolism. So we go through these cycles. You know, likewise, when you are in the daytime, you know, it'll be great if it was daytime all the time and night never came. But sadly, or unfortunately, you know, or realistically, well, the night will come, for now, at least. You know, so no matter how long the day lasts, like in the summer months in some areas, the day lasts very, very long. But nevertheless, at some point in time, there will be night. Same thing in the fall and winter months. The night may last very, very long, but can't last forever. At some point in time, the day will come. So these things often go, you know, hand in hand. And we have to remember that. But you say, well, what about Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22? Well, because this is a significant scripture that tells us that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he added no sorrow to it. You say, well, why do I have testing then if the Lord said the blessing will come and there will be no sorrow? Well, the testing that God adds is not sorrow. Yeah, it's to make you strong. That's right. You know, that's the way that God does it. It's not, God's testings are not the kind of challenges that will bring you sorrow. If you know how to, you know, walk your faith through it, it will not bring you sorrow. The Bible says that, you know, a testing of your faith worketh patience, and patience, experience, hope, all these things, to bring the glory of God out in your life, not to bring sorrow. Praise the Lord. So that's the difference about that. Now, when, you know, you're praying and asking God for a blessing, remember that the blessing will come. I mean, God, you know, will grant the prayer and add, you know, the blessing, but it may be accompanied with some testings. The Bible said even concerning Christ that God tests every son that he receives. I mean, Christ was destined to be the prince of the kings of the earth, the chosen one, but destined to be ruler, you know, the governor over God's people and everything, but had to go through some stuff. And Christ himself said in Luke chapter 24 to a couple of his disciples that were wondering why Christ had to suffer those things after his resurrection, he met them on the road to Emmaus and said to them, "O ye fools, and slow to understand all that the prophets and the scriptures have, you know, declared. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things in order to enter into his glory?" I mean, so even Christ, you know, he couldn't just enter into his glory without suffering all these things. Had to suffer these things in order to enter into his glory. So, and the servant or disciple is not above the master. I mean, if they have done these things in a green, I mean, what would they do in a dry tree, Jesus said. You know, if the master has suffered those things in order to enter into his glory, we also, when we are getting blessings, they are going to come testings along with it. But what stuff are you made of? That's the question. Can you endure these testings? You know, can you endure, or will you, you know, will you grumble and be offended, you know, just because of, you know, a little testing here and there, you know? So that's what we want to know. What stuff are you actually made of? You know, this is what Jesus, sorry, this is what Paul said to Timothy. Thou therefore, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So Paul is not telling him that, look, everything's going to be smooth. No, he's telling you there's going to be hard times, but you must enjoy it as a good soldier. I mean, let's see what you got. You know, don't let a little stuff, you know, blow you away. Proverbs 24 and verse 10 tells you, look, if you faint in the day of adversity, then what does it mean? It means that your strength is little. But God doesn't want us to be of little strength. He tells us all the time, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I mean, don't be a pushover for the devil. Devil take advantage. Even if it was God that sent the test, the devil would take advantage of it. He'll come in there and tell you, see, God doesn't like you. You know, he's allowing you to suffer these things. You know, don't give the devil any room. Neither give place to the devil is what we are told in the book of Ephesians, you know, chapter 4 and verse 27. We're told to don't give place to the devil. Don't give him any chance, you know. Shut him out completely. But know this and be sure that the blessing will be accompanied with some testings. Jesus spoke about it in a roundabout way also, when he was speaking about the travail of a woman that is pregnant. And John chapter 16 and verse 21, he spoke about it. He said, look, you know, a woman also have sorrow. I mean, the birth of a man-child into the world, which is a bundle of joy, people say, which is a great blessing, well, comes with sorrow. You can't have it without that. Jesus said, look, when her time is coming, she's sorrowful. Because this thing is painful. You know, but, you know, that pain won't last forever. She'll have that man-child. When she holds that baby in her hand, she's going to forget all of that. And she'll be glad for joy. People will rejoice with her. But, you know, that pregnancy will be accompanied with some pain. You know, and sometimes, you know, more than necessary, because the devil takes advantage of it and afflicts the people with pain, you know. So, you know, when things get out of hand, you know, you got to step in there and assert your authority, claim the benefits from the Lord. But a little of this, a little of that will be there in life. That's, such is life, you know. Life's just always like that, you know. That's why we wake up and we sleep. That's why sometimes we eat, we're hungry. I mean, we cannot just be in a state, I mean, euphoria all day long without any of these things. That time is coming, but it's not yet. We're still here in this world under this, you know, thing, this house that we're in now. We've grown in it. You know, this shell that we have right now, you know, cannot endure, you know, that euphoria state really. It's built for this up and down stuff, you know. Someday it'll be changed, you know, and then we transition, you know, but we're not changed yet. And we're being changed, we're being transformed, you know. The lava and the caterpillar that's being transformed, it goes through some painful stuff, you know. You can see that thing struggling in and out, painful, you know, and, but eventually, one of the most beautiful creatures that God has ever made comes out of that ugly thing. You know, I mean, this thing is really ugly when you see it. You know, I've seen it real up and close, and I've seen it on a movie set that I went to a butterfly place, and they, you know, they captured it in real nature and showed it to us on TV, I mean, on the screen. And it was amazing how the ugliness, you know, that precedes that thing of beauty. And you could never tell that such a beautiful thing can come from such an ugly thing. Yeah, but such is life and such is the wisdom of God. And so, you know, don't, you know, let that stress you out. Jesus talking about his own life. He made this profound statement in John chapter 12 and verse 24. He said, look, except a corn of wheat, you know, fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But, you know, it's got to go through a painful process of death in order to bring forth, you know, some real stuff. You know, so, you see that these things go hand in hand. Now, if Jesus didn't go through that painful death and all of the separation from the Father, he would be alone up till now. He would be the only Son of God. There would be nobody else. But he had to go through all of that to bring many sons into glory. You know, so this is the life. That's just the way it is. And you look at many aspects of life, you know, when you are praying for a baby, for instance, a married wife praying for a baby, you know, when you get the baby in the womb, you're happy that you're pregnant, but my goodness, sometimes, you know, it doesn't need to be like that, but sometimes it is, you know. But sometimes, you know, they have all this morning sickness and cramps and all kinds of things, accompanies, you know. And, I mean, why can't you just be pregnant and bring this baby out? Why do you have to go through all that stuff? Well, because that's the way God designed it. You know, and sometimes, you know, when it comes to the point of birth, it's, you know, exceedingly painful. But you know, after it will cause for joy. You know, birth pains is what we call it. And, you know, there's no birth without some traveling. And it's a, you know, it's a package deal. You know, so that's the way that God, you know, when, that's the way that God planned it and he put it out together. Now, in Genesis chapter 15, let's take a look at the life of Abraham when God would put a tremendous blessing upon him. Well, you know, first of all, in Genesis chapter 12, God called the man and said, you know, I have chosen to make you great. You know, as I said before, a few days ago in another lesson, I said, well, Abraham wasn't trying to be great. You know, God just decided that's how God chooses. I was going to make him great. You know, so the Lord told him, I will make of thee a great nation. Yeah, that's what God told him. He wasn't, you know, trying to be that. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God told it to him. You know, and I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you and so forth. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How can one man be the blessing for all the families of the earth? Well, God said so. Now that's Abraham for you. But, you know, but let's see. This same Abraham, let's see what he had to go through to get this kind of blessing that God put upon him. In Genesis chapter 15, in fact, if you read, I'm not going to read all of it for time, but you can read the first 14 verses or so. The Lord appeared to Abraham in a vision. I'll summarize it. And he said, Abraham, I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward. You know, then there was some conversation and so forth, you know, that happened to him and so on, you know, between him and, you know, and the Lord. Well, and the Lord also told him some other things that know for surely, because he said, look, I want a child, this and that. I said, okay, fine. So, but know for a surety that your seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs and shall serve them, you know, and serve them for many years. I mean, why in the world? I mean, if you say you're going to bless the man, I mean, and that all the families of the earth, his seed will be great and blessed, and the number of his seed will be as the sands of the sea. And so, I mean, you know, just bless the man already. Why does he have to go through all this stuff? Why does his seed have to go through all this stuff? Well, it's a package deal. That seed had to go through some serious stuff, you know. So, that's the way it is, and it is the way it is. And that's how God ordained it. It's always a package deal. Praise the Lord. You know, so someone is trying to call me repeatedly and I'm trying to shut it off, but it's not going away. Apologies for that. Part of the distractions that we go through here at this time of day. Anyway, so it's always a package deal. Package deal. Blessings from the Lord, but testings accompanying that. You're going to be great. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Your seed will be like these. They'll be great. They'll be countless. They'll be this and that. But before all that, they're also going to suffer for 400 years. I mean, this is just the way it is. So I want you to be, you know, confident in one thing. That the testings cannot derail the blessings. They will be there for a purpose, whatever purpose God wants to accomplish, but it will not be able to derail the blessings. Praise the Lord. I'm right here with you guys. I'm not on the phone, even though it may show that I'm on the phone. It's just because someone's calling. I can't turn off my ringer, but it's still calling. It's still showing. You know, so I have to give me a second here. Looks like they are actually at my door.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yahweh is attending. Praise the Lord. He's just, I think he has someone that comes through the door. I'm in the other room. I can hear the communication. So I'm just stepping in. So we just want to thank God for today. Who is celebrating today? Is anybody celebrating birthday today? I was thinking, let's see. It wasn't.
All right. Apologies about these distractions. Someone from the estate came to fix something in the house. They're always coming, even though I've told them that during this time I'm busy. They're coming, knocking on the door, and doing all these things. Anyway, apologies for that. That's what you get for trying to do this room in the middle of the day. So let's get back to it. All of the things that God promised Abraham and all the blessings, if he could have just had the blessings alone without his seed going through all that stuff. But that's not the case. They had to go through it. And you know what they went through for 400 years before God had to, you know, bring them out with a high hand. What about David? You know, David wasn't even asking to be king. You know, just minding his business, being a shepherd boy. God handpicked him to put him, to make him king. But that decision by God painted a target on his back. That's right. The moment that Saul knew that this boy is going to be king to replace me, and even my own son will not be king after me, he was determined to kill David. So the blessing that God will put him into kingship painted a target on his back. And he was running. I mean, he was like a fugitive. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong, but he was running for his life all the time. You know, and that was because God said, you're going to be king. Well, so you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, okay. As a reason for it, all of that strengthened David through it all. You know, all that running through the wilderness and this, so that's what actually prepared him to be king. Because he really didn't know how to be king, you know. He knew how to fight. I mean, he was a warrior. He would fight lion and bear and everything. But there was a lot of other things that he had to learn, you know. And God also tested him to see whether he would remember the word of the Lord, you know, to not touch the Lord's anointed. He had opportunity to kill his enemy Saul twice, at least. You know, but he didn't do it. And he said, I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. His day will come, but it won't be from me. See? And that was God testing him to see what he would do. You know, God gave him opportunity. Rise, even some of his people that were around him, say, hey, God has finally delivered your enemy into your hands. Kill him already and be done. And ascend to the throne. You know, get your life back. But he wouldn't do it. You know, so David understood that, you know, whatever it is that comes from the hand of the Lord was for good. As long as it's not the hand of judgment. See, God's good hand will be upon you to bring blessing and testings. It will not, that testing will not bring sorrow if you know how to deal with it. Now, if we don't understand the workings of God, then we'll be depressed. We'll be sad. We will think that something bad is happening. You know, it may be bad if the devil gets in there, but, you know, if it is the Lord that's bringing the test, it's not bad. You know, it's everything that God does is beautiful. And he may be doing it for a reason that we don't understand, but you got to trust him through the process. Praise the Lord. Now, I've got many examples like that. Joseph was another example. It's a blessing. God showed it to him multiple times in a dream of how he was going to be great above his brethren and everything. But I guarantee you, you know, he had to suffer many things, many, many, many things to get that blessing. Well, c'est la vie. That's the life. You know, the blessings will always come with testings. But we have need of patience, therefore. Is what Hebrews chapter 6 tells us, that you have need of patience. After, not before, but after you have suffered a while. Well, why must I suffer to inherit the blessing? Just give me the blessing already. That's why we need patience, because some of us are not patient, but we have to learn patience, you know. Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. We need to learn patience by the testings that God allows us to go through along with the blessings. So let's read this together, you know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, not just faith alone, patience means you got to go through some stuff and stay right there. Don't lose hope. Don't lose your stand with the Lord. Don't be discouraged and don't let offense set in. Stay right there. And through your faith and patience, you will inherit the blessing. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 also gives us, some encouragement about these things. Say, cast not therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience. Yeah, right? Patience. After you've done the will of God in passing through the test, that's my own amplification of this, well, you might receive the promise. So, tests will come along with the blessings. You know, Luke chapter 21, verse 19, more on the subject of being patient while you are being tested. Your patience possess ye your souls. And also 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, sufferings are part of God's plans for us. Now, the sufferings can come in form of testings. You know, that's the way I'm preaching it or teaching it today. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, it says, but the grace, God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Well, while after, why not before? Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So this is the scriptures. You can't shake it. That's just the way it is. You know, so to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So these things will come. Praise the Lord. But you need to be patient in tribulation. The scripture says that, you know, we need to be patient in tribulation. We need to be instant in prayer. You know, we need to trust the Lord. You know, when I'm talking of tribulation now, I'm not talking of, you know, the great tribulation or something like that. But we're talking about things that we go through. Jesus talked about it. He called it, in the world you shall have tribulation, John 16 and 33. I mean, stuff will be happening to you all the time. You know, anything that is unsavory and, you know, brings you into a state of distress, either mentally, physically, or otherwise, it's a tribulation, it's some kind of tribulation. When you have these tribulations, well, you know, don't think of it as if God has forsaken you. The devil will try to tell you that. But today's lesson is to let you know that this is part of life. This is the way that God designed it. And, you know, wish I could change it for you, but no. I can't change it. And I wouldn't even change it. Because am I going to be wiser than God, who has been the Lord's instructor or known his mind that he should instruct him? I can't do that. If that's the way he chose to put it together, then that's the way he chose to put it together. Tribulation, any kind of suffering, you know, that brings grief and distress, it puts you in a state of trouble, you know, and so forth. You know, you get a blessing, then a testing comes with it. you're looking for a child, and it's very difficult when you are pregnant. And even when you have the baby and you are rejoicing, then you get sleepless nights. Baby is crying all the time. You know, but it doesn't have to be. You could pray over that baby. You could pray them to sleep and so forth. But these things will happen, you know, naturally speaking. You know, some people say, hey, I want to get married. I want to get married. Then they get married, and then they have all kinds of problems in their marriage. Well, you know, hey, you know, that's the life. And you got to know how to deal with it. You know, and if you don't understand that the life comes like that, you know, in my culture, the Yoruba tribe, great, great tribe here in Nigeria and Africa, you know, a lot of blacks come from that tribe, really. You know, they have a culture. When a woman gives birth, they have this culture. They bring you some things. They bring you honey. They bring you pepper. They bring you a few things, you know, and say, well, you know, it's honey, you know, honey is like sweetness, you know. Hey, may the baby experience some sweetness. You know, they bring honey. Well, they also bring peppers. Why do you bring pepper? Why don't not just only the honey? May the baby grow to be tough. Because peppers will make you tough, you know, and they bring all these things. And it's a symbol of, look, this is the life. It's a mixture, always. But thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. That's the final analysis. That's the end of the matter. Is in these things, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I mean, we can praise the Lord even while we are going through, knowing that His good hand is upon the situation. So that's what I wanted to encourage us with today. James chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 will tell you that God uses the trials of your faith to bring about patience. You know, so when you start a new business, which is a great thing, and people are congratulating you for that business, and all of a sudden stuff is not happening right. Well, that's the package deal. But don't you worry. Everything is going to be all right, you know. But you've got to wade through the water. You got to weather the storm. That's right. You've got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, you got to take a licking and keep on licking. You can't let the devil punch you and then you start bemoaning your wounds. No. You know, you got to be strong. Power of the Lord. And sometimes the devil will cheap shot you. But what are you going to do if that's the case? Well, one man said, you know, rejoice not over me. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Oh, my enemy, because when you cheap shot me, I will arise. I'm not going to stay down for the count. You know, and even when I sit in darkness, the Lord's going to be a light to me. He knows that light's coming for him even when he's in darkness. He just knew it. And, you know, that's how he encouraged himself in the Lord. Do you know it? You know, so, and it goes both ways. You might be in a time of blessing right now, but testings are coming. You might be in a time of testing right now, but blessings are coming. It's both ways. It's always both ways. You know, so that is what Ecclesiastes 7:14 says. So God packaged them together like that, put one over against the other. So that, you know, we will always look to him and not be looking anywhere else. You know, that's it. If you had blessings all along and never had any testings, you might forget about God. If you had too much trouble and no relief in sight, well, you might start, you know, becoming very angry and bitter and despair of life and so on. So God puts a balance out there. Praise God. A little of this, a little of that. A little testing, but a lot of blessings. Praise God. I'm going to pray over the room. I'm saying, Lord, a little testing, because long hope wearies the heart. You know, a little bit of testing, but a lot of blessings for them. Amen. Praise God. But look, you know, however God arranges it, it's up to him. Just make sure that, you know, we are walking in wisdom. You know, some things happen to us you know, from adversity because of lack of wisdom. And, you know, you don't want that. You know, some people bring stuff upon themselves because of lack of wisdom. The Bible said, you know, the prudent man foreseeth the evil, but the one that is foolish, that has no wisdom, he goes headlong and he falls into mischief and problems, you know. And so, with wisdom, we can avoid many pitfalls. You know, some of these things that will be pitfalls, you can avoid them by wisdom. It's like somebody trying to start a business, they're praying, God bless me, and so forth. And you don't use wisdom to go and learn the secrets of the trade. Get yourself prepared to know how to do accounting and whatever you need and so forth. You're going to have a lot of problems. You know, so we got to use wisdom. Now, if you have faith, I've always tell to people, now faith and wisdom, powerful, like a dynamic duo, you know, powerful stuff. If you have faith, you know, it doesn't matter whether you got into trouble because of lack of wisdom. It doesn't matter whether you got into trouble because somebody brought it upon you or you brought it upon yourself, the devil targeted you or whatever. Faith will get you out of it. Real faith, you know, cannot be denied. Get you out of it. However, on the other hand, wisdom will get you, will keep you away from many of those pitfalls in the first place. So, you know, you can use faith and pull you out of the ditch, but if you use wisdom, maybe you wouldn't fall into the ditch in the first place. So you got to balance life, you know, out. But any which way you are, in whatever situation we are, the Bible says, give thanks in all things. Hallelujah. Whether, you know, you are up, give thanks. Whether you are down, give thanks. When the blessings come, give thanks. When the testings come, give thanks, you know, and give thanks in every situation, you know, and rejoice when the testings are coming. When you have those testings, rejoice at that time as well and bless the name of the Lord for it, knowing that God knows what he is doing. Praise the Lord. You want to glory in tribulation also. The Bible says, rejoicing in hope, Romans 12 and 12, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I pray that this little exhortation brought you some encouragement. And again, apologies for the distraction. I can't seem to get away from it. Right here in the middle of the day in the estate, somebody's always coming, trying to do something. So that is the way it is. Let me pray over the room. Father, I thank you and I give you praise. I give you glory for the word of exhortation that has spoken to us, assuring us that we wait patiently for the Lord. He'll pull us out of whatever it is that we may be going through. And remember that the word of the Lord will be tried in your life. Psalm 18 and verse 30 tell you that the word of the Lord will be tried. Also, Psalm 105 and verse 19. The word of the Lord is always tried, no matter what. The word of blessing will be tried. But God's grace is sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Praise the Lord. Lord, strengthen your people. Cause our heads to be lifted up. Any hands that are hanging down, any knees that are feeble, let them receive strength. Let the people be encouraged, knowing that a little testing is really nothing. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength through it all. And the Lord's word cannot be disannulled just by a little testing here and there. Pray that these testings that people may face or experience, along with their blessings, will only make them stronger in the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.